Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. We're still talking Big Smoke with James.
Yes, we are.
And today, James is going to tell us how the game works.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one because that's a thing that not many people really know much about so far.
What do we know? We know that there's going to be a living rule book.
Yes, there is only a living rule book to begin with. I think with a game like this, with so much stuff in development still, I think it makes a lot of sense to just put it online and not commit to a printed rule book from the outset. There will be a printed rule book eventually, but what the living rule book will do is give you the ability as a backer to get early access to the rules, play games, and should you choose to, give tons of feedback and make the game better. But if you don't want to do that, you can just enjoy playing the game and watch it develop.
And will non-backers be able to get access to the rule book as well? Are you going to open it up to everybody?
Eventually, but basically by being a backer, even if you only back for £1, which is like the digital pledge, you'll get a website login, a personalised one. You'll get to log in and see the rule book. You'll be able to feedback on any specific parts of it. That'll go into a database. It'll all be organised. And each time that you suggest something or put valuable feedback in, it'll be tagged and it'll tie to your account. The reason for doing that is that it means that I find out who's helping and I can reward those people later down the line with everyone's going to get a VIP status essentially, and you'll get better rewards and better offers through Infamy the more helpful you are towards making the game a better thing. But if you just want to sit back and enjoy the game, you get rewards in that case too, because you get to play a tighter, more refined game.
Great. So the game. Yeah. Basic questions first. How big a table is it played on?
You can play it on a 2x2 table, but that's going to be a really vicious, vicious game. 3x3 or 4x4 is probably your ideal sort of zone.
Okay. How much terrain do people need?
I would say the more the better, because it just creates for a more dynamic, interesting environment with lots to climb up and go over. But you can play it with just your standard table layout. The characters are quite varied. Lines of sight being blocked are a good thing, but there's lots of close combat as well. Pretty much anything.
Okay. Right. So that's the basic boring question. Okay. Because people want to know, can I use my existing terrain? Can I use my existing table?
I would say the answer to those questions is yes.
Sounds like that's a yes. So that's great. We talked last episode. You said, you know, 3, 4, 5 miniatures per game.
Yeah.
And you also sort of said that you can use any model in your crew, so you can really go for the models you like rather than being sort of tied into a particular faction.
You can. The way the game works essentially is you pick a kingpin, which could be someone like Sherlock Holmes, it could be someone like Uncle John, it could be someone like Tesla. Now, the kingpin that you pick, if you're playing tactically, is going to affect what extra models you want to take with that, because obviously Holmes is very much about a synergized gang who work under him and follow his orders, so he has a lot of command ability. Someone like Tesla is very much about machines. Someone like Uncle John is about crazy chimps. But you could mix other people in, and it can create interesting new dynamics and interesting new combinations of skills, which make for the game varying a lot. So, you can mix and match as you please. It doesn't mean that everything will go really well with everything, but it gives you the option of finding out new tricks.
Right, so the kingpins we know at the moment are Holmes, Uncle John, Tesla, Tallulah Bell?
Tallulah, Henrietta Jekyll.
Oh, Henrietta.
And did I mention the Toad? No, the Toad's the other one that's been released.
Oh, the Toad's a kingpin as well,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so those are the ones that are there at the moment.
Okay.
There are more to come. Should
the kingpin... how many have you got planned?
Overall, there are, we're looking 30 or so, but that won't happen through this Kickstarter.
So 30 kingpins.
Yeah, but that's looking into the future. You know, that's going ahead. Because you can use the kingpins with anyone, it just gives you the opportunity to mix and match it. I don't know if you've familiar with MOBAs and stuff online, like League of Legends,
yep,
and stuff. I really, in the future, foresee the way that Infamy would work would be almost like that has a draft system. So for competitive play, you would take a selection of models and you and your opponent would go through a draft process where they would veto certain models and you would pick certain models, and that way it creates a more interesting dynamic where the metagame of this one's too strong, this one's too weak, is constantly being altered by the trends in the tournament gaming people, because I would love it to become a tournament game. But at the same time, by having this flexibility, you can just have a pickup game and enjoy it and change the story based on the kingpins involved and everything like that.
All right, so you've preempted one of my questions.
Have I?
Yes, because I was going to ask, because one of the things that Malifaux has been a success in this country, at least, with is creating a new tournament scene.
Yeah.
And one of the things that other games have sort of haven't received that traction is because that they don't lend themselves, or the designers don't want them to lend themselves to that sort of go out, meet people from other parts of the country, and then just throw down type game. So do you have in your mind a way that you can play Infamy as a tournament game?
Yes, that's definitely... It's not something I'm focused on right now. What I'm focused on right now is eking out every bit of the rules to make it as refined as possible, but I've definitely got a plan going ahead. I would love people to play it at gaming centres across the country and across the world. I would love for people to be able to play it competitively and know that they're going to always be surprised by what their opponent's doing, and they're going to have to think on their feet a lot during a battle.
Right. I suppose that aim helps dictate how you write the rules as well, because you're looking to have as tight a set as possible.
Definitely.
Rather than the Games Workshop, well, just make it up as you go.
Yeah, and that's type of phrase. And that's why it has to be a living rule book for the first year or so of its development. It couldn't be a printed tome, because it would just go out of... It would be irrelevant so quickly once those really hardcore evil people who try and find ways to break systems get their hands on it.
So how do you go about picking your crew? You pick your kingpin, and then does each character have a point?
They're essentially the same. Like, everyone is pretty balanced.
Right.
So if it's a slot, well, a slot. If it's something that where they're not as strong, you'll be able to get something else to make up for it. There will be a boost. But yeah, you just basically take it in turns to say who you're taking, and it's as simple as that right now. You can both take the same model if you want, but with it being very characterful, from a fluff perspective, I would say it's not the best thing to do, but it's going to happen, and that's okay. You can create stories around that. I mean, it happens in Malifaux.
Yeah. Okay, So you really can just rock up against someone, you know, you arrange a game with your mate, and you can just turn up with any figures that you want, and you just say, let's play a four-figure game. Is that...
Yeah, you can do that. You can definitely do that. It will vary depending on how the rules develop and what people want. That's the thing. There are various options for picking your gang that I've got in place at the moment, and we will test those out through this alpha testing.
Right.
And that's why, again, the living rulebook makes sense, because I've tested it. I've tested it with people, but once hundreds of people are testing it, that's when you've got that scope and that scale, and you actually find out what the majority want. And not just the vocal. It will be the vocal majority, I suppose, because they'll be the people that will be feeding back. But they're also the people that care, and that's what's really important.
Okay, cool. So... how do the rules work? How do you play a turn of Infamy?
Basically, it's a hybrid system. It has both dice and card mechanics worked into it.
Oh, okay.
It's actually really simple. The card mechanics, each model at the start of a turn is dealt what's called an up card and a down card. They're simple playing cards. It's basically a blackjack hand. So you get one down card and one playing card facing up. That is basically the number that dictates how effective your model is going to be that turn. You have a chart, and the closer to 21 your number is, the more hardcore skills you're going to be able to perform in that turn.
Okay, what's a hardcore skill?
The best things that you can do. So, like, the Toad, for example, if he's got a low number, he can hit someone with his pneumatic hammer, he can shoot his gun. But if he's got a high thing, he's got his Gatling cannon to the perfectly cooled state, and he can unleash a much more powerful volley of shots from it.
Okay. So there's a random mechanic based on the card game on what you can do with an individual model.
Yes.
That activation.
Yeah, that creates two dynamics. One is, because there's a down card, only you can look at the down card. Your opponent doesn't know exactly how powerful that model's going to be in the turn until they activate, which means that you can bluff. You could have a really rotten down card, but start moving in an aggressive fashion towards your opponent and make them feel they have to react to that. Beyond that, there is also the fact that you can choose to take a twist and try and boost up your total.
Right.
To make yourself more efficient. So there's a risk reward there in that if you twist and you bust your hand by going above 21, you rapidly decline in ability.
Okay.
Beyond that, if you bust your hand when being attacked intentionally, it reduces your attacking ability, but it increases your ability to defend. With me so far?
Yeah.
So you basically, at the start of each activation, you can manipulate your total. And depending on what you do with that, it will dictate how effective your model is. The manipulation comes in two forms. You either take a random draw, which you get a limited amount per turn based on what models you've got in your gang. But someone like Sherlock Holmes will also get command cards, which you know what they are, and you can strategically enhance your models with those command cards to make them better. So that means you can dictate your efficiency. Going beyond that, the actual actions themselves, the activations, they happen on a model-per-model alternating basis, but some skills will mean that you can activate another model after one of yours. And all dice rolls, they're just opposed dice rolls, basically.
Okay.
So it creates a really interesting dynamic where if you've got your kingpin being attacked by someone and they're going to get a big one-pin hit in on you, you might feel you need to defend that, but you have to compromise your attacking ability by busting your hand in that process.
Right, okay. So are you going to have... Is there a Kickstarter card deck?
No.
Let me go.
I love poker. I love card games. If I'm going to do a card deck, I want to do it properly. And I would genuinely want to do a proper bicycle card deck type thing for that rather than just a normal printed thing. I would want it to be the slickest, nicest card deck in the world. So that would be something I would really have to do separately. It would just be too much scope for a Kickstarter that's focused on this game and on these models.
Yeah,
I'm not ruling it out for the future, but it wouldn't quite fit. And also, I'm trying to focus on things that can be produced in a managed way, and I've never made a deck of cards before. I don't think it would be that baffling, but I understand the process for everything I'm producing through the Kickstarter, and I want to keep it that way. I don't want to disappoint backers by taking longer than I'm estimating.
That's cool. And the artwork is the killer thing for making decks of cards.
Totally. And I think I've got some good stuff coming up for that, but I'd like to give my artist a brief to make a proper card deck based on Infamy with all unique stuff, because the playing card suits matter as well.
Right.
This is something where balance comes in. Each playing card suit represents a different specialism. There's four specialisms. That's intelligence, technology, skill, and strength. Right. And each model in the Infamy world is pretty much tied into one of those more than the other three. Some of them are hybrids of two. But if you get a suit that corresponds with your model's specialism, they will get even a little bit better than they were before, which means that you're rewarded by picking a balanced gang. Because you get to make best use of the suits over the course of the game.
Because you can use across the whole hand.
Yeah, particularly if you've got command cards. It means you can strategically give spades to someone who needs them and things like that.
Right.
So the cards are really important, but they're not the only element. You need to be strategically maneuvering your models. And there's also split activations. So you can use some action points for a model. Start instigating a move where you're like, right, this is a bit of a risk, but I want to do this really hardcore move. You then pass the activation to your opponent. If they can manage to break your model's focus by hurting it, then you won't be able to perform that move when the activation comes back to you. But if they don't, it basically supercharges your model for when the activation comes back to them.
Okay. So when you're activating it, is it I activate a model, you activate a model?
Yeah, it's just an alternating sequence. Unless I activate a model like Holmes, do some stuff with him, and then my final move is to use a skill, which means that I shout an order to another one of my people, and it then forces them to be the next activation.
Right. And do you finish a model's activation completely for that turn? So do you, are they done, or is there a way to go back to that model during that turn?
If a model has the ability for split activations, then you can instigate a skill that allows that, and you will be able to go back to that model.
Right. Okay.
So again, it's just meaning that with a small amount of models, you have the maximum amount of stuff to actually do and perform.
Yeah, and so I suppose especially with the fact that they're all effectively characters and uniques rather than having grunt level.
That's very much it. And don't get me wrong, models. I do have plans for grunts, but they will not be a part of this Kickstarter. That would be like a year on, there will be something grunty coming in, but they will work with the existing rules and they will fit in nicely.
Okay. Cool. So how far out do your plans go as an aside?
5 years or so, getting to hopefully some nice big plastic kits of stomping machines, but who knows? It really depends how things kick off.
That was terrible. that was awful. Oh, dear.
I'm preying on your weak points, aren't I?
You are, really. So, how do you win?
How do you win? Okay, you know Malifaux. It's got a lot of... I love the way that Malifaux has extra things beyond just smash into each other until someone's dead. It's very much going to be scenario-driven, objective-driven. There will be a few different options. The joy, again, of the Living Rulebook is I can put tons of those out without worrying about page count. And once the rulebook comes out, I can leave all those options on online, but I can just... in the rule book, put as many of the best ones as I can fit. So yeah, you'll have strategies that you have to fulfill. You'll have almost like achievements to perform throughout the game.
Right.
If you can do that, it will boost you. But again, hurting the other side, still going to be quite a useful thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But is it possible to win a game of Infamy without, actually killing anybody, any of your opponent's models?
Yes, but it's quite difficult.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you could take the pacifist approach if you want. There are options to do that more so because you can bust your hand to go more defensive. It definitely means that you could keep busting your different characters and make them more difficult to hurt whilst performing missions like, I don't know, deactivating a bomb or something like that.
Right, okay.
Or breaking into the bank. Little cool little flavor missions, which will just be a simple mechanic in game, but for those who want to bring more story into the game and make connected scenarios and stuff, that's all going to be in place. Because I love that. I'm less of a power gamer overall than I am a story fluffy type gamer, but I recognize that there's a big group of people out there who love to game competitively, and I'm making sure that Infamy will work for them as well.
That's awesome. Do the models have cards, or is it...
The models will have cards.
Phew, I'm so glad.
right now, they won't come with cards for the simple fact that... Sorry, actually, let me rephrase that. Right now, they probably won't come with the cards with their rules on for the simple fact that it's a living rule book. But if people have really playtested it using proxies by the time that the delivery of the models come about, maybe I will send out cards with the caveat that these cards will be replaced once the final rulebook is locked in. And I'm sure if that happened and you were a Kickstarter backer, I would arrange something so that you would get the replacements at that time.
Yeah, I mean, you really only need to put PDFs of cards out. Yeah. I mean, people are used to printing out. But no, I'm glad about that. It's one of those design trends that modern games are taking that I've been really happy with, is having all the information that you need on a card, so you don't have to do the constant rule book flick and go, what is this ability? Especially in a story driven game where I'm making assumptions, but I'm assuming that, you know, someone like the Toad has 6 or 7 different abilities.
He's got a lot.
Do.
Yeah, he's, and the other reason for cards is that the wound track. There are 3 elements to the wounds in Infamy, essentially. There's a ward level, there's an armor level, and then there's a body level. So you have a wound track that's comprised of 3 different parts. And the ward level will always remain on that track unless you have an opponent with a very specialist attack that can smash it. So like something that could deactivate a force field.
right.
The armor level's the same. That's a fixed value on there that will remain unless someone, I don't know, like Toad's pneumatic hammer smashes it down. Usually that happens through critical hits if you roll a 6 when you're attacking. Beyond that, the body is the actual life of the model. So even if someone has armor and ward remaining, excuse me, as long as the hits get through those, you can kill a model whilst they've still got their armor intact.
Right, okay.
So you need to keep constant track of those things during the game.
Oh, you're choking up.
I've been talking a lot recently. I'm just having a little sip of orange juice. And...
Okay.
I should have pretended that I was getting emotional because I'm so dedicated to the game.
I'm sure. Do it now, and I'm sure.
Edit, just sort it out in the edit.
Yeah.
But no, that's better, I think. Sorry about that.
No, I mean, it sounds a really, really interesting system. And I'm making assumptions that it's, you know, you're moving in inches and the dice are D6.
Make all the standard assumptions there and you're probably not going to go too wrong. I guess the assumptions not to make is if you play Malifaux a lot, so you won't make these assumptions. But if you've played a lot of Games Workshop games, don't assume that movement will be, that the things you can do with your models will be move, charge, close combat shooting, because it's not that. The attacks and the things that you can do with your models, they're more skill-based. So rather than just charge, someone like Tallulah will have a swooping attack, which is a combo attack. It's basically you'll swoop in and hit them, but then you'll take a risk and pass activation to your opponent. Assuming your opponent doesn't manage to hurt you, you can then swoop back out again and be in a defensive position for the beginning of your next turn. It just adds richness. It means that you create story through the actions you're performing, and you have so much versatility and so much to offset what your opponent's doing to you as well.
Okay, cool. So we're approaching the end of our time. Well, we're over the end of our time again, okay. But surprise, surprise. But I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Uh-oh.
So what are your three biggest unique points about Big Smoke?
Okay, I think the unique selling points are definitely the hybrid system with the cards and the dice. That's the one that is going to make for really interesting stuff. I think the fact that you can mix and manipulate your gangs to pretty much your heart's content is going to create very interesting dynamics in the gaming scene, particularly once you go to the upper levels. I think the metagame is going to be really fascinating to watch that develop. And then beyond that, I think the split activations and the combo moves, they're a little difficult to describe, but as soon as you see them happening, they become this new sort of tool in your arsenal that really can make for some great risk-reward strategies in the games. And it's going to really reward bold players. And I like that. I like that if you take the attitude of to live, you must be willing to die, you're going to probably do quite well in Games of Infamy.
Cool. Right. Well, next episode, which will be our final one with James.
Oh.
I know. Well, it's all right. After the Kickstarter's done, we're getting you back on again.
Okay.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Kickstarter. We'll probably touch on the Indiegogo that you did before.
Yep.
But we're going to talk about the Kickstarter, and I'm going to try and prize some Kickstarter details out of you.
Okay.
So until tomorrow, I've been Mike.
And I've been James.
Bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.